Sorry, I'm quite tired, so I might be a bit mad this evening.
Well, that's fair enough.
That's how I feel as well. I think it's going to be a good episode.
So, Fernando, you picked this week's film.
Joyland, yes. Yes, I did.
Joyland. Anything you want to say about it?
Meh is what I want to say about it. So the reason I picked it is because, well, I think it was listed by Letterboxd as one of the best films in, was it 2023, 2022? I can't remember.
22.
And back then, there was no way in which I could, at least legally, or find an even an illegal way to watch it here in Mexico. It was simply not available. But I did put it in my list of films, and once again this year I looked it up, and well, suddenly this year it is now available in Mexico, and I was like, well, now I have the chance to watch it and see if it is as good as Letterboxd is telling me that it is. And I thought it was just so meh.
Ah,
interesting.
Well, now,
very
so that's a
meh
from Fernando.
Okay,
presumably meaning somewhat bad. Okay, what about you, Laura?
I'd characterize it as a meh.
Okay. I think there's an isomorphism between meh and I think it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some kind of trivial transformation between the two, isn't there?
I recognised that this was a good film. It was a well-made film, beautifully shot, nice stuff, nicely done, nice script, great acting,
sounds
all
like
the
Donald
elements.
Trump talking about a film he likes.
Sounds like Donald
beautiful
Trump talking about
people.
Himself.
Yeah. All of them just talking all the time. He's talking, she's talking. I don't know what they're talking about, but it's some great stuff. No naps. yeah, I'm going to give it 4 stars. I thought it was a 4-star film, but I did not enjoy it. I really did think it was very well made, but it was miserable and I hated it and I wanted to turn it off all the time.
Oh, wow.
And not in a way that I was like, wow, I'm so emotionally engaged here that it's really taking me through the ringer. I was a bit more like, why? Oh, this is sad. I had to stop myself from going on my phone, which is a bad sign, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I thought it was really well done. But not for me. Not my cup of tea. There we go.
So, you think there's something wrong with you?
Yes. It's a me problem.
You didn't like it, but you think it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
It couldn't have done anything that differently to make me like it.
Okay.
Could have thrown in a few laughs.
Yeah, okay.
I guess I'm quite sorry to hear that.
If you don't like olives, it doesn't matter how good the olives are.
Exactly.
If you don't like them. Yeah.
Right.
I did think it was a good film. I don't know. I'm undecided. I don't know how I felt when it ended. I felt sad, which I guess is what it was aiming for. But I knew it was going to be like that. You don't call a film Joyland and put it on BFI player for a happy time.
Yeah, okay.
You guys?
So... I'm surprised you wanted to look on your phone and wanted to turn it off. I found it very compelling to watch. I don't know. I didn't enjoy it because a lot of it was really horrible and difficult to watch. Not horrible, but, you know, challenging. But yeah, I think it was a good film and I wanted to keep watching it. So I guess I liked it.
How many stars would you give it?
4.
Whoa. High praise.
Yeah.
High praise.
Maybe 5 out of 7. Michael.
I think I'm with you, or probably more positive. I thought this was a fantastic film. It's brilliant.
Wonderful.
Certainly no meh about it. Certainly didn't want to check my phone or turn it off. It was, I thought it was brilliant. I could see, I think there must have been a lot of stuff, like maybe a real film enthusiast or someone who knows about films could pick up that I didn't get. But I found it really compelling, really interesting. I really cared a lot. And it felt very, real, like they'd really captured something about people.
Yes.
And that was great. And I actually found it, yeah, very watchable, very I didn't find it too hard. There were some sad scenes and some tough themes, but I thought it kept it running with like that there were a few laughs, there were some light bits, and it never sort of tried to drum it home to torture you. It just told an interesting story that at times was a sad story and told it in a good way. And I thought it was, yeah, really superb.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't, the reason I sort of wanted to be on my phone was not because I was bored. I was filled with dread.
Oh, dear.
There was definite dread.
I was just filled with dread the entire way through of thinking this is going to go horribly wrong. They're all in this incredibly repressive, patriarchal society. Ugh, nobody can be who they want to be. It's all just tense and oppressive, and I just don't want to be involved in that.
Even from the opening scene, I was sure she was going to die in childbirth. Just, it was set up like something was going wrong. So I was immediately on edge. It was a real, yeah, just waiting for the next bad thing to happen.
Yeah. Even the nice moments, I was like, well, it's just going to go wrong in a second. You two wait.
Yeah.
I think I had a lot of hope going through it. I was always thinking maybe this will work out somehow and they'll like find a way to coexist.
You fool.
To some extent they sort of did. Not all of them, obviously.
A woman died, Michael.
Yeah, a woman died. Yeah. That wasn't what I was hoping for. I had an idea of when it was going to end, so I sort of knew how far we were from the end, and I realised at some point that there wasn't really enough time for a happy ending and that probably someone's going to get killed and that's what the ending's going to be. But even then, there was a note of positivity at the end, maybe. It had something, and we'd all explored something and understood something, and that was, I don't know, it didn't, maybe I was less engaged than you guys, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you just don't care enough about LGBTQ+ issues, Michael.
Maybe that's it.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't care about that. No, I'm just kidding as well. Stop saying things.
I was interested to see that we didn't really find out what happened with Bieber in the end. We really only saw anything through the eyes of Haider and Mumtaz, that is the husband and wife who were central to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of a curious one, that though Bieber somehow wasn't one of the central characters, she was just important because she was important to Haider, and that, yeah, and so I kind of we were almost lacking something from her, and that somehow made me feel that it didn't feel like a film about LGBT issues as a result of that, although there was a lot going on and there's a lot to unpack.
I'd say it was an exploration of sexuality and gender.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Which I thought it did very well.
Yeah.
And I really, really liked Bieber.
Okay.
As difficult as she was.
Yeah, I sort of didn't like her. Like Haider, I thought she was
brassy.
Yeah, that was compelling somehow. I liked watching her. But she wasn't totally likable. She wasn't totally good either. And that was interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I liked her. You were very sympathetic to her then.
Yes. I was compelled by her. She probably endeared me to her. I was compelled by the three leads. Because I wonder if she... I think I would call her a central character, even if she sort of... I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't resolve her story particularly, no. Did we? But
yeah, you know what? I like them all.
She was a bit of a catalyst. She didn't really change, did she, as far as we saw?
Nice.
Sort of.
Yeah.
She just sort of...
Yeah, we weren't following her journey, really.
No.
Yeah, she was static, wasn't she? She was basically in the same place at the end as where she started. And it felt like her interaction with Hayda hadn't really made a big impression on her. Could be. Or if it had, we never really saw it. So Claire, you had a lot of sympathy for Bieber, or you weren't so sure about her?
I don't think I had strong opinions about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I connected most with Hayda and Mumtaz.
Yeah.
Bieber felt very important to the story, but yeah, I never quite got attached to her. I guess I liked her. She was fun in her way.
Yeah, okay. What about you, Fernando? Did you like Bieber or dislike her?
Yes, I did. Okay. I really liked her.
Oh, good.
She was my favorite person.
Oh, interesting.
Me too, probably.
Well, she was my favorite person if a person can be a tie between Bieber and Hayda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like them both. I wish they could have been ended together. I wish they ended together.
We'll just have to make up our own ending.
Yes. That
could happen.
I mean, they may have ended together.
Swims in the sea for a bit and then sees Bieber sunbathing, runs over, and they start a new life together.
No, I think they were doomed. He was confused.
He was so confused.
He was confused.
I think the scene where they almost have sex was meant to indicate that he didn't really. I don't know. I didn't know what it was trying to suggest, but I thought it suggested that they wanted different things. They misunderstood each other.
Totally.
Yeah, I think for me, well, that the whole thing was Bieber calling him a faggot and stuff, wasn't it? That's what the translation was and what we saw. There was some serious anger there. But yeah, he loved her, but as the man.
Yeah, as a physical he wanted her to be a man.
Which she wasn't.
I thought there was a slight bit of ambiguity there, which is that it was that or it was he was so unsure of what to do in that situation that he was trying to please her, but didn't. But then he kept turning, even though she kept turning him back. So
And he said something about her not getting operations, didn't he?
Yeah, he'd said that a while before. I love you as you are. Was he gay? Well, or at least sort of gay and wanted to be with a man. It's a spectrum. We saw that he wasn't really sexually, he and Mumtaz weren't really working together. And it seemed to be because he wasn't all that interested. And then, this thing with Bieber, he was sort of fascinated by her, but didn't really accept that she was a woman and that she was going to have sex reassignment surgery and that kind of stuff. I wonder if he just wasn't really interested in women in that way, or I don't know, or he was at least looking for a gay relationship somewhere.
Maybe Mumtaz was not a very good, I don't know, sexual partner.
That's true.
Maybe, right? But she was so sweet and nice.
Yes, but then you can be sweet and nice and maybe not very good at other things.
I suppose. But he should have been happy with her because she was just perfect.
I think on an emotional level he was. We saw how much they liked each other.
Yeah.
There was a definite affection. There just potentially wasn't sexual attraction between them.
Yeah. He was also kind of betraying her in a few different ways. This is the question I'm building to. Did we like Hayda in the end?
Yes.
I did, but, you know, I don't condone his behaviour.
Yeah. And Claire?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked Hayda. I think Hayda was forced into an impossible situation by societal demands or by his dad. And it's very easy to say, well, he shouldn't have got married, but it's not that simple. And he didn't go into any of this deliberately trying to hurt anyone. He just was trying to figure out what was going on in a world where he didn't have anyone he could talk to about it. Like he didn't have anyone to tell him or help him figure these things out. He had this very restrictive home life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I liked Hader. I don't think he meant to hurt anyone.
I was still expecting for him to confess that he was having an affair. Maybe not the first time, as in the first times that he met with Biba, I think it is understandable that he kept them secret from Mumtaz. But when he finally realized that maybe he potentially had feelings for Biba, I think he potentially also maybe it would have been a good idea for him to say something to Mumtaz, say, I think I'm falling in love with someone else. Although at the same time, even in heterosexual relationships, that probably is very difficult to do.
Mm. Yeah, because it's not like they could really separate. Uh-huh.
No.
Mm. Yeah, I have a lot of empathy for Hader. He never got given the chance to be who he was, and he had to explore it in a very clandestine way.
Mm. Oh, see, you just said it in one sentence.
The great summarizer.
Yes, my rambling was just helping you formulate that thought.
We're just passing the Donald Trump baton.
I'm so tired.
No naps.
Did you like Hader, Michael?
I am so conflicted. I not as obviously as you three did. To start with, certainly, but I found it really hard to forgive him for what he was doing to Mumtaz. There is the point that getting pushed into marriage is not quite the same thing as choosing to marry someone. But I don't know. I saw Hader and Mumtaz kind of working so well together early in the film, and she was so understanding. She really seemed like she was the friend he needed, who was found out that he was
the friend he needed.
Yeah. Well, a spouse should be a friend as well, and she was that for him.
What kind of hippie nonsense is this?
It just strikes me that so many marriages, like arranged marriages, must result in a couple who aren't really in tune with each other and can't really communicate properly and don't appreciate or understand each other. And they had hit the jackpot, basically, and pretty much the two of them were understanding of each other and cared for each other and I think loved each other to some extent. And, you know, while there was this stuff that he could never tell anyone, how he's working as an erotic dancer at a place, and she didn't even blink. She just said, you know, do you like the job? And, right, show me the dance moves. And she was so supportive. And it just broke my heart to see him betraying her after that. Mm. And it was so hard to watch that. And, okay, so if you have... You know, if you have some sexual desire or something and you didn't really want to get married in the first place, I don't know, fine, I guess. But I couldn't help thinking, like, why aren't you just stick with Mumtaz? You're onto a good thing. You're never going to find someone better than her.
Spoken like a true heterosexual white man.
I guess so.
I get what you mean. Like, he didn't have to. He could have been supportive and friend. Like, he didn't support her at all. And in fact, when she was told she had to give up work, he reluctantly but still said, "Yes, I agree. I think
that was bad. That was bad."
I was so furious with him at that time as well. And it must have been so hard for him to stand up to his father like that.
Yeah,
it's not like they can have a big row or whatever, but. But maybe, right? Like, maybe he could have done something, or And he never even really talked to her about it afterwards or tried to.
Yeah.
He was just a bit of a coward in that sense.
Mm.
And in this other stuff he was doing, yeah. The way he was pursuing Bieber was as a coward, and the way he told Bieber that he didn't want her to change was in this sort of slightly cowardly way. And then it became clear Mumtaz must have known that he'd been with Bieber as well when he came home without his shoes.
Mm.
Because he'd left them at Bieber's place. He said that he'd left them at Bieber's place, but he didn't confess and say, "I'm so sorry, I've been having an affair."
I think it was understood.
Yeah, but he never said he was sorry. He never.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know.
Because he was not sorry.
Maybe he wasn't sorry, but he should have been sorry at least a bit.
Yeah.
For lying to her, and it just made me feel that little disconnect that you can kind of forgive him for because he's in a difficult situation, but that disconnect and that lack of honesty with her kind of meant that she ended up without her one friend in the world. And he should have been that friend for her, even if it was difficult to confess things. And I just wanted to give him a good shake and a good talking to her a few times and tell him that he had to do the right thing.
Oh man, he just sucks.
Yeah. But I mean, you three made some good points as well, and I was very aware of all of those as well, and it must have been hard for him. But I couldn't help feeling at the end. Well, we'll talk about what exactly happened at the end, but when he was swimming in the sea and stuff, and I thought, oh, good, you get to have your moment of realization, and you get to live your happy life now.
Oh dear.
And I just wished that it was Mumtaz who had run away and left him to have his fucked up life. Sneaking around with Bieber.
I don't think he was happy. You don't wade into the sea in your jeans if you're happy. That was a manic kind of.
I've waded into the sea in my jeans.
In your jeans?
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't pissed at 5 a.m.
Oh, okay. Yes, that. Yeah, that was probably.
Maybe it was.
It was only about 1 a.m. Yeah, okay.
No, I think me. I don't know.
So, what was happening at the end? What was he? What was this scene with him swimming in the sea?
The sea was freedom,
right? And he was free at last.
I don't know. Symbolism. Ring the bell.
Oh yes, let's go.
Lovely. Ooh,
brilliant.
A threer. Thrice here, agate.
Okay. What do you think about the sea then, Laura?
Yes, I think the sea symbolised autonomy.
That's rubbish. Claire, was it a better one?
Sorry, was it like a baptism?
Ooh.
Oh dear. That's even worse.
Was he starting his new life, washing away the old him?
Oh well.
Starting a new.
Yeah, I like that.
An openly gay man in Pakistan.
Yeah, he had to climb over some rocks to get there. It wasn't easy.
We didn't see him get out of the rocks.
So I am not sure he wasn't trying to end his life. I know you're all talking about it as if he was just visiting, and there was some happy music playing, but I do wonder if that was him finding his peace.
Mm. That thought flitted across my mind, the way he was sort of just really striding in there with all of his clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know what to do. I'll Google it. Ending explained. People love telling you what it means.
They don't know better than we know. What did you think at the end, Fernando?
I don't know. I have, as in this time, I wanted to feel what you felt as note taker, and I did take some notes, and I'm looking at the notes at the end, and I see that maybe I was as confused as you are, because my 8th note says... this is also towards the end. Maybe it's not the ending, but someone says, "We are going to have a baby." This is probably Mumtaz, a son. And then he starts crying. She consoles him. And then I ask, what does that mean? Is he not happy that they're having a baby? What is she drinking in the bathroom? She did not hide the bottle from him. Clearly, it must not have been that bad. Why did she take her life? What made her so depressed? And that scene where he says, I have something to tell you. Was he going to confess that he was having an affair? Did she suspect? Is that why she asked about his shoes? And yeah, probably that was the reason why she asked about the shoes. And now I have no idea what happened in the sea. Maybe he was cleansing his sins.
Yeah,
like a baptism.
Yeah, okay. Well, you had a lot of things you weren't sure about.
So was he not happy that they were having a baby?
I think he was conflicted. I thought it was just a huge outpouring of emotion from all of everything that had been happening. Just hearing that. Well, yeah, I think he was happy to be having a baby, but also worried and guilty and everything. That's how I saw it anyway.
And what was she drinking? Well, it was clearly, well, not clearly because I still don't know the answer, but was that poison?
I think it must have been.
I read it was floor cleaner.
Floor cleaner?
Okay.
Can you die by drinking floor cleaner?
It depends on the floor cleaner.
I thought it didn't really matter too much. It was something that kills you, and she was drinking it to commit suicide. I thought that was clear. And the rest didn't really matter.
And again, Hader came in while she was sitting on the bathroom holding it, and he didn't notice because he was so absorbed in his own problem.
Yeah, and that was the final thing that was just so heartbreaking that she didn't even have to really hide it. He was just not paying proper attention to her.
This is why I think the sea is the autonomy.
Okay.
Okay, they're living in this very repressed society. There's built-up walls everywhere. There's no free space, right?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you ever been in the sea? Or one of them's been like, you ever been in the sea? It's great. You should go. And he's like, I've never left this place. He's never left the confines of his own life. He's living in his bubble, the repressive bubble. And then he says to mom, says, let's go and see the sea one day. Or the other way around. Can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah.
Who passed me the Donald Trump baton? And then but she dies. So then he goes to the sea, finally escaping his repressed life. It's pretty obvious.
I think that's good enough.
It's the vastness of the ocean.
Yeah. Which is exactly what Bieber says, right? It's so vast that you realize how small and how unimportant human beings are, and our individual lives are just tiny.
Precisely.
And in a way, this is another thing that I loved about the difference between Bieber and Mumtaz, because Bieber had this poetic thing that she came out with talking about the sea, and when he asked Mumtaz about it later, and he said, "Oh, so you've been to the sea? What?" Is it really that big? And she said, yeah, it's the sea. What did you think? And that was just such a perfect, that was the kind of thing you'd have said, Claire. Just a sort of realistic, straightforward. She wasn't even unkind about it. She said it with a smile on her face, but just, taking it for what it is and not trying to make anything more of it. And there was something beautiful in that, in its simplicity. And again, I could see an ending where Hader and Mumtaz and their little boy go to the sea together and go swimming. And it just wasn't to be.
It was a sad film.
There's not a single universe in the multiverse where that is something that actually happens.
Really? Oh, we were so many tiny flashpoints away from it all being fine. I really think there were loads of paths through this that end with him and Mumtaz living happily ever after.
Happily would feature.
I think it
maybe
could.
Ever after, but not happily.
Yeah, I think finding their peace somehow. Could have worked. They could have run away together. That's one thing. You sort of have to love each other to run away together, I guess. But they sort of did. And
as companions, though, not as, and people like sex. And if they're not satisfied with each other, then...
What kind of hippie crap is this?
So maybe they should just go as companions, and when they're truly away and they can support each other, and they're when they're out of this the thumb of their father or father-in-law and the horrible brother and everything, they can live happily without being a couple, and he can bring actresses back to the house, and she can find someone who actually loves her or whatever. Well, he seems to only go for actresses, right? They can do something. I don't know. This is what I wanted. They run away together.
They worked well together.
They worked well.
It was everything else that went wrong, wasn't it? And Hader being selfish.
Yeah.
But in a sort of understandable way. He was going through a lot. And as you say, Claire, he had no one to talk to about it.
He didn't. Like, how was he supposed to figure things out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could have talked to Mum Tess. He could have talked to his dad. He could have talked to Kaiser.
Who is Kaiser?
Oh, yeah.
Good old
the
Kaiser.
The friend that got him the job.
Oh, yeah.
the guy who was, I think, openly gay.
Was he?
I think so.
What do you mean, was he? I mean, you think everyone's gay always.
Is this the first one that I've realised he's gay and you haven't? Wasn't there some line early on where he, like, at least sort of gets at Hader for being surprised that someone's gay or something? Or, oh no, as Hader calls him a faggot, right? But maybe that was just joshing. And in fact, that's exactly the kind of thing you wouldn't say to your friend unless he was straight. I don't know. Well, anyway, you should have talked to someone.
I quite liked his dad.
In a way, I did as well.
He was just a product of his time, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was as much part of it as the others. He was unsympathetic, though.
He was straining to hold up his idea of family honour, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot to...
I suppose so. He was quite harsh with people, though, and quite cruel at times. That didn't seem called for, even if you do have these views.
He made Hader kill that goat.
Mm.
Or tried to make Hader do it.
Yeah.
Meanie.
And then Mumtaz killed it for him because she's so nice.
Yeah, she's so nice. She slit that goat's throat for him.
Find yourself a girl that'll kill a goat for you. San in Princess Mononoke would have killed a goat for Ashitaka.
She would have killed a goat for the bloodlust.
That's true.
She would have killed the goat and smeared herself with its blood just to frighten her enemies. I think I've said everything I have to say about it, apart from I thought Hader's marriage proposal in the flashback was very no worries if not, which typified his whole character.
Oh, I see. Is this a... like an established phrase, no worries if not.
Yeah. I suppose you're not really on social media.
I'm not. I don't know all of the clickbooks and Snapstagrams that all of the hip young cats are into. Is that like a hashtag?
Michael, people don't use hashtags anymore.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
I had that realization in a class about 3 years, I can't remember, some time ago, where I was talking to some second years at St. Andrews being like, well, what kind of hashtags would you use? Because the class was on like digital lives or something. They were like, we don't use hashtags. And it blew my mind. What? What do you mean you don't use hashtags? How do people find your tweets?
And the answer is they scrape all of the data from every single thing now so that you just search index the whole lot. Uh-huh. Doesn't stop the companies just making everything a hashtag and not really knowing what it was ever used for.
But yeah, no worries is not sort of making fun of like email culture of like women being timid in their emails. You know, no worries if not.
Okay.
Best wishes. No worries if not.
Which isn't a wholly bad character trait, is it?
No.
but sometimes
I write it in almost all my emails. Not in that exact phrase, but there's usually, if I'm asking someone something, there's usually I totally understand if you don't want them. Damn it, I'm a meme.
Would you do it if you're like demanding that a monarch abdicates at the end of a revolution? Just if you feel like it, no worries if not.
Yeah, I'll understand if you don't want to, but I will come and behead you. Probably how I'd phrase it.
So that did a lot for me. The flashback scene right at the end there, because they'd really kept it in their pants with flashback scenes. Some films like this will really overdo that, and you could have seen this film that's been like they'd start it halfway through and then flashback a bit, and then they'd go forward a bit and flashback a bit, and they'd have like opened it with Bieber and him having sex or something, and then be like, "What happened a year earlier?" And they didn't do that. To their credit, they really did.
Or just tell one shown us the scene out of order, like just in some random order.
Oh yeah, like "So Long, My Son," where there appeared to be no rhyme or reason to what order they played any of it in, which was that much worse for the film.
Oh, I thought it worked for that film.
I think I remember that you thought it worked for that film.
What is linear time?
Oh yeah, you said something about that as well. But yeah, this one, I thought that one use of the flashback was particularly effective because they had only used it the once. And it was just that much more heartbreaking. Because firstly, it was a shock just seeing her on the screen because you don't quite realise it's a flashback until you see her. And then it just being the perfect opening to an arranged marriage. Just that they must both have thought, I'm onto something really good here. This could actually work. And it sort of did for a while, and then just all went so terribly wrong. So heartbreaking. Yeah.
Interesting film, though.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot. Loved the cinematography.
I loved the chiaroscuro. Yeah, so I've got some actual notes on the cinematography.
Oh, I heard us with
them. What do you think?
I like the way some things were blurred. Some things were sharp.
Nice.
I liked how the camera pointed at the characters.
That was good. Sometimes it was real up close, sometimes not so much, a bit far away. Yeah. Mostly up close, though, I got to say. Real intimate film, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Lots of Certainly shots was. Of things. Texture.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's my thought. Tell us your notes. What's your notes?
I didn't actually write them down, but they're notes in my head.
None of those head notes. Yeah.
If I ramble a bit more than I normally would reading words off a piece of paper, that's why.
All right, Donald.
It was a great film. So great. Let me tell you something about the film. When I was at MIT.
Doing film studies.
Right. So it was good because they did so much work with every single framing. Every single framing, like you said earlier, Laura, it felt so claustrophobic.
Mm.
Everything was really boxed in. So much. Which was pointing to a densely packed city and small living quarters where there are always people around and you can't get any privacy or secrecy. So almost every shot had the characters, and then there was something else in the extreme foreground.
Hmm.
You'd be looking at them over a table or behind a beaded curtain or through a half-closed door or something. And very often there'd be a load of junk in the background as well. So there was this feeling that you as the viewer were packed into this room with them. It was a very, very tight quarters. Even the scene where they're like under the great open sky on their roof, there are all of these walls boxing them in and trapping them. And we see them having this conversation, but over four brick walls that we can see in the foreground of the frame. And all of that was just done, fantastically. So many of the shots as well, there was some container on one or both sides of the frame on the left and right, again, giving this feeling of being trapped. And one thing that you can almost miss because it's in plain sight it was shot in 4x3. How many films do you see shot in 4x3 in the last 60 years? Like hardly any. I think it was shot digitally anyway. It would be, there's no technical reason to shoot in that narrower field. The only recent film I've seen it done in, apart from this, is Wes Anderson films where all bets are off, and a film called The Lighthouse that was all about this kind of trapped feeling. Again, just this, there was no, like, we have wide, the reason we use widescreen is because it's the way our eyes work. We're used to looking left and right a lot, and we don't look up and down a lot in everyday life, so it's a natural shape for the screen to be, and having it boxed in like that, again, just added to this feeling of being trapped, this feeling of claustrophobia. And I thought that was, yeah, altogether, it was a really great effect that lent itself well to, I mean, not only it was, firstly, it was literally the situation they were in, a tightly packed city in close quarters, but also that was the main theme of the film, was being trapped in social constructs. So brilliantly done.
Lovely.
In that sense.
Oh, you're a regular little film star.
I did not even know 4x3 was a thing. I did not even notice.
Ah!
Neither did I. But cool, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Hmm.
Beautifully done. A lot of great artistry. I knew we were in for something good when we had the... well, I was a bit worried to start with when there were like 30 different production companies at the start. I thought, wow, you really had to cobble together some money for this, didn't you? But apparently it was brilliant, and so that was fine. But then we had the little badge saying it was one of the films at Cannes that had got some kind of recognition from the committee.
And really got like a 9-minute standing ovation.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know it got banned in Pakistan?
Yeah, I was just reading about that. And then unbanned, right?
With yes. A few cuts. I think it's still banned in the area it was actually filmed in.
Hmm. I see you've been reading Wikipedia as well.
I certainly have.
And why not?
Sometimes when I think, I don't know if I've got many thoughts on it, I'll go to Wikipedia and see what facts I can churn up just to have something to say.
Yeah, why
however,
not?
However, it turned out I had a lot more thoughts than I thought.
That's good. Almost the sort of final irony, it being banned in Pakistan, I think because of objections to depicting a transgender character. As if you needed more of a proof that this film needed to exist and was telling an important story, the fact that just having that film was too sympathetic to transgender people to be allowed for public release in Pakistan. I'm glad it eventually came out.
Can we go back to the scene where someone kills a lamb?
Yes. You've got notes. Yes, tell us all your notes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's note number two. It says, right. Killing of a lamb. I hope I never again eat another animal, but of course I cannot predict the future and I do not know if I will eat more animals in the future, but... It took me so long to convince myself to stop eating animals, and yet I wonder if there are some maybe cues that maybe we shouldn't, because I'm sure that Hader maybe felt empathy for that lamb, and maybe he would appreciate not eating animals, except because of the society that we live in, we all eat animals, and most of the people start eating animals, and then maybe they at some point decide not to, but maybe vegetarianism should be more widespread, or could be more widespread. Mm. Why is it not more widespread if we all seem to have this natural empathy towards animals?
Yeah. Well said.
Did someone put it, you're happy to go to Sainsbury's, but doesn't mean you want to go to the slaughterhouse.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, we can forget about it if we try not to think about things.
Mm.
Yeah, it can make it easy to forget.
I think you're absolutely right, though. I think it's just hypocrisy.
I'm not sure if we could call it hypocrisy, because I think that someone else said that contradiction is part of human life. So I'm not, maybe I'm not willing to see this as hypocrisy. It's just a normal human weakness, a normal human contradiction.
Well, then, then there is no hypocrisy, is there? It's a defunct word. If all hypocrisy is just human, natural human weakness.
No, I think that some things can be hypocritical. Okay. It's just that I don't think that all hypocritical. I don't think that everything that is contradictory is hypocritical.
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
My note number four says he dances much better than me, even when he was just auditioning.
I thought that too. Not about you, about me.
At dancing.
Yeah, I laughed at him dancing, and then I realised that he was better than me. And then I just laughed at myself for a few minutes.
I bet if you really practised and had Madam to teach you, you could do all right.
Thank you, Mumtaz. That's exactly what she would have said.
You're right. Maybe this was it. I saw Hader and Mumtaz and thought that's the perfect relationship because it's that bit closer to what I live in. So basically, yeah, me wanting them to have a nice conventional life like I have and being very unhappy and cross with them for having feelings that contradicted that.
Can you see how good you've got it? Why are you trying to mix things up?
Yeah, exactly. For everyone? Just get on with it. Stick with your wife. Try to suppress those other feelings.
You're not suppressing hard enough.
Yeah, just keep going. Stick at it for another 30, 40 years, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, great, well, so Michael's showing his true colours. What other notes do you have, Fernando?
What other notes do I have? I mean, I'm not sure. Listen, most of them, I realise now, are not really worth reading. But yeah, I do have some other notes.
That's never stopped me in the past.
would not have been allowed into the women's section of the metro, at least here in Mexico. First of all, do you have like women's section of the metro in, say, London?
Nope.
Okay, well, we do have it in Mexico, and it's like a separate, what do I call it, coach? A separate coach of the metro?
That you would have to get off the train and get back on again to change sections. Uh-huh,
exactly. Okay. So Bibi would have definitely been allowed to be in that. So nobody would have criticized her except Hader would not have been allowed to have that display of gentlemanliness or support because he definitely would not have been allowed in the women's section.
Yeah, okay.
What else? I think he decided to give the job a try, not because he was convinced of the job, but because he immediately fell in love with her. So I think he liked her from the beginning. That
mm-hmm. It's from when he saw her on the stage, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Now, take care of Mumtaz, quote, properly, end quote. Does that mean having sex with her? And was she also be having maybe longing for a sexual connection with someone else? Because we do see her spy on someone else. I don't know who that person was, but having maybe some illicit sex acts on the street and she having she's spying on them. Does that also consider as maybe Mumtaz being sexually interested in someone other than Hader?
I think she was just looking for, I don't want to say gratification because I feel ill saying that word for some reason. I'm repressed.
I'll say I think she was looking for gratification.
Thank you.
Okay, well, do you think
that's disgusting, Michael?
Yeah, I think it was something like, I don't know, pornography for her. It was she didn't know who this person was, had sort of never seen them before except like twice looking through binoculars, but there was something erotic going on and she didn't quite know what she was doing, but she sort of couldn't help herself.
Do you think they could have been, Mumtaz and Hader would have benefited from an open relationship?
Well, this is what they should have run away to Karachi for. They could have run away. It's got the ocean. Well, just run away from there, from the brother and the dad, who were overly controlling and stopping them from living their lives.
So what you're suggesting is that they move to Berlin?
Yes. Yeah, they've had a great time in Berlin. Or St. Andrews, come up here. We'll help out.
I think those were all my notes.
Okay.
Good notes.
Thank you.
Yeah, good film.
Yeah, I'm so glad you picked it, Fernando. And I'm so sorry you didn't like it so much yourself.
I mean, I'm going to give it 3 stars. So, I did like it. It's just that I was expecting... It's all Letterboxd's fault. I was expecting something more.
Oh, no. Okay. I only looked up anything about it at all to see if it was sort of suitable for watching with my dad.
Yeah, bad call.
I was going to say, what did you get?
I got a high bar. Basically, I didn't want Pink Narcissus.
Well, if it's my choice, I've got an interesting film for you.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'm going to... Right, none of the films that Laura picked. Although The Swimmer was a hit.
Oh, good.
We had a lot to say about that.
Did your dad like this film?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he'd gone and looked everything up by the time we saw him this morning.
Had he?
Yeah, he'd had. He'd been thinking thoughts and all sorts. Mm. Just... working out what it all meant, whether it was deeper than he thought.
No other thoughts from me, though, except brilliant. Excellent film.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it as well.
It's nice when people like things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is me.
Well,
and also, I didn't like it as much as you, Claire, and Fernando didn't like it as much as me, so we're on a sliding scale.
Yep.
Like Michael Young, I also don't have any more thoughts other than it could have been better.
Excellent.
There wasn't a single twister.
I know your next pick.
Shall I play the music?
Ready when you are.
Grand so.
Three, two, one.
Paper.
Let's try again. Three, two, one.
Paper.
Right, we'll see how long this takes. Three, two, one.
Paper.
You. All right. Three, two, one.
Scissors.
Rock.
Oh, you do. You knew it. Yeah.
Oh, she doubled. She predicted you.
She did. She read me like a book.
What have you got, Claire?
Hero 2002.
Fab.
Okay.
Never heard of it.